chosen one of my favorite stories from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, this morning for us to sit with as we begin a new year. And I'm going to begin by reading, and hopefully the words will be up on the screen as I go, so you can read along with me. This is 1 Kings 19:1-14. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up, ate, and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet." I love the amazing, the violence almost of that, the wind and the earthquake and the fire followed by the whisper. But I often think of the ancient prophets almost like they are superheroes, people who have been something more than everyday people, like you and me. But when I read a passage like this, I'm reminded that they are simply people who are doing their best to be faithful to the calling that God has given them. They don't present as anything more than humans who experience the highs and the lows of life. And this story, I think, is one that captures that reality quite beautifully. If I think of the prophets as superheroes, I certainly don't think about them experiencing something like depression or any other mental health challenges. But if we take a closer look at that passage, it's unavoidable when we consider it. In chapter 18, just before, we see Elijah at his faithful best, perhaps with a little side helping of gloating or taunting, but he's at his faithful best. He's proclaiming before Israel that God is God. God is the Most High, not Baal. He is so confident that he sets up a very public competition between the God of the Israelites and the God that they had been following, Baal. And he challenges the prophets of Baal to put a bull on the altar, and he calls down, the two were meant to call down fire from heaven to consume that bull. Of course, Baal doesn't show up, but God does, even after 12 massive jars of water are poured all over Elijah's offering. God is faithful, and Elijah experiences the mountaintop of God's faithfulness in that miracle as he presents to the people. But almost immediately afterwards, he's fleeing for his life because Israel's royal family wants him dead. Imagine that. 24 hours earlier, Elijah is a conduit for God's mighty power, and now he's in the depths of depression wanting his life to be over. Many of those Old Testament prophets got a pretty rough deal in their jobs, I reckon. But again, before I get too wrapped up in my assumption of superhero-ness, it makes me think about our everyday lives too. As I said, Elijah is going about his everyday calling. And some days go well, and some days don't. How relatable is that? For each of us, no matter how we fill our weeks, we all know that there are some days that are amazing, and some days that are terrible, and then everything in between. Prophets are no more superheroes than you are as a teacher or a cleaner or a volunteer or an accountant or a writer. No matter where you find yourself, God invites you to be part of revealing God's power to the world that is despairing, divided, and decaying. Just like Elijah, we are called to reveal God's power. Today, that power is most profoundly expressed in the love of God that God has for creation, that we see in Jesus coming to be one of us. Sometimes we reveal power as we're going, God's power as we're going, in ways that are received well by others, and other times not so much. God knows this, as we all know it. There are times that we can feel that we are on the mountaintop, and then there are times that we can feel like we're stuck in a swamp in the lowest valley. And so the question that I ask myself, particularly in those valleys, is, am I going to continue to try and seek God and to follow where God is calling me and risk stepping out in hope? Am I going to respond to God's invitations, or am I going to ignore them? And I love the way that God engages with Elijah in this passage. He asks a question. It doesn't start with an instruction. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Stephen? What are you doing here, churches of Island Bay? How would we answer? How would we answer if we're struggling in that swamp? How would we answer if we're on the mountaintop or anywhere in between? God is inviting us to engage with what God is up to, from wherever we are, and it's up to us about how we are going to respond. It's also up to us to be looking for God's activity, to respond to it, as Elijah does. From his depths of depression and hopelessness, he takes a risk to listen to what God seems to be saying to him. And he follows God into a cave and waits. There he experiences the power and the terror of a powerful wind, an earthquake, and a fire. The fire which 6 weeks-ish or so earlier he had seen consume an entire soaking wet altar. And in that terror, in that power, despite that power, Elijah did not see or hear God. If you're anything like me, I'd kind of prefer to encounter God in those big moments and those big events. The things that you can't deny are actually God. The things that remove all doubt. But that very rarely, if ever, happens, for me at least. Instead, I have to be willing to wait and peek out of a cave and hear God in that gentle whisper. It might come in the form of a person speaking truth to me. It might can't be something that I read in scripture. It might be something that I observe in artistic work, like paintings and books and movies. It might be seeing God's beauty in other people or in nature. That gentle whisper results for Elijah in another invitation from God into conversation, into relationship. Amusingly, in this case, God asks Elijah the very same question, and Elijah responds with literally the same words. Elijah has a choice about how to respond, and he chooses to repeat his despair. They want to kill me too. He shows again God that he is in that desperate situation. What's God's response? A further invitation to get involved in what God is doing. The offering of hope, the hint of a new beginning in a successor, in a new prophet. We're here together at the beginning of a new year, a time that is often filled with hope. But in my conversations with people, the optimism that we had going into 2021 wasn't as prevalent as we prepared to arrive in 2022 yesterday. There is a realism for us, for many of us, recognizing that that life as we know it has changed. And it's changed for the foreseeable future. In some ways, this realism is probably a good thing. It means we are prepared in some ways for some of the challenges we'll face. But in other ways, I think we've been robbed of some of the joy that often comes with a new year. Many of us are concerned about our physical health, as a quickly mutating and spreading virus is never far from our minds. We've had to make hard decisions as groups of people in workplaces and churches and family gatherings about how we engage with each other in this context of vaccines and passports and mandates. Many of us are concerned about the economy, house prices, job security, what to study, should I even study? It wouldn't be an understatement to say that many, if not most, people's mental health has taken a significant dive in these past couple of years in New Zealand, probably around the world. In fact, mental health challenges affects New Zealand per capita as one of the highest in the world. So at the beginning of a new year, what does a story of a depressed prophet say to you? I hope that Elijah's experience of waiting, of sitting with fear or even terror at those huge, literally earth-shattering events, to still not see God in them, helps you to relate in whatever it is that you are facing at the moment as we begin this year. This isn't about comparison either. You don't have to be experiencing those kind of earthquake moments. But we are all invited to keep waiting, to keep hoping, to keep seeking after God, to share in those moments of seeking the gentle whisper or hope or listening to that gentle whisper. In Elijah's story, God showing up would have been easy to miss. I imagine after an earthquake or a windstorm or a fire, how high my blood pressure would have been. The sound of my heart pumping in my ears would have made it very easy, I think, to miss a gentle whisper. But fortunately, Elijah doesn't. He hears the subtle voice of invitation from God to keep going, to keep being a conduit of hope for the people around him. You might not hear a whisper directly from God like Elijah did. Maybe you will. But I wonder, who has spoken words of encouragement to you recently? Who has given you the gift of their time and their skills? Who has been there for you to sit with you in whatever it is that you are going through without having an answer to the questions that you have, but just to sit, just to be with you? I wonder if those people are God's still, small, gentle whisper for you. And that's my prayer for us as three different faith communities in Island Bay for 2022. That we would be people who are both listening for the gentle whisper of God, but also be people who are conduits of that gentle whisper of God, sharing God's love with each other and with those around us in our community, no matter what we are going through, from those valley times to those mountain times and everything in between. So that we would see God's kingdom in this place and beyond extended. We're going to take some time to reflect shortly. There's going to be some sounds of fire and earthquake and wind, followed by a time of silence. I invite you to give yourself some time to listen to what God might be saying to you. What is God inviting us and you into for this new year? God speaks, even in the midst of depression, struggle, uncertainty. This doesn't necessarily change the circumstances we're in, but it might be something that enables us all to take whatever the next step might be. So a slide will come up with some with those sounds, so I just invite you to reflect. There's some questions with that slide.